This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into putty! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective, with three fans who know how to talk some trash.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Ajay Salveson.
I'm feeling such an odd mixture of pride and mortal terror.
There is a creature alive today who has survived millions of years of evolution without change, without passion, and without logic.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out!
Hey, good evening, everybody, or is it good night, or is it good morning, wherever you're at.
What time is it?
Why am I... No. Hey, everybody, it's Ajay Salveson alongside Dave Denton. Chris Evans will be joining us a little, as well as Zane Peterson. This is Turnbuckle Trash. You're there, we're here, and we're grateful to be alongside each other. Talking all things wrestling. You've got SummerSlam, you've got a match for the elderly. Winner gets a...
Some new teeth!
Winner gets a walker, a wheelchair, and their very own assisted living center room.
And new teeth. You're missing teeth.
Jeez, Dave, you're really good at that. You've been practicing for a while since
you're... I'm an old man myself.
Oh, my gosh. What are you
doing? I was born in the year of our Lord, 1957.
What the hell are you doing in this podcast? Stop it.
I don't know.
This is uncomfortable. And then we got a huge announcement at the end. A very, very big announcement. We are so... Dave is really excited about the announcement, actually.
No, I'm not.
Dave is thrilled. And so, it is the Cubs that are going to be in the World Series, and he is thrilled about it.
Well, the Cubs are in first place right now.
Yeah.
Four games over my Cardinals, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe five now, because Cards lost last
Cards
time.
Lost yesterday, yeah. But the Cubs won one and lost one.
But we're still tied, or at least tied, for the wild card.
For the wild card.
Yeah. Okay.
This
is wrestling, not baseball.
Well.
Wrestling.
Okay, good point. Here we go. So let's get into it.
We'll
no
get
need
into
to
it.
Dave, do you have a nail clinic on
yes,
Wednesday
I do.
In 2 weeks?
Yes, I do.
Just don't forget. Do you need a ride?
No, I'm actually going to be on vacation that day. That's why I got that out. So I got to call him and reschedule.
Oh, you're going to be on vacation.
I'm going to do vacation.
Where are you going for vacation?
Beautiful Laughlin, Nevada. The last time I was in Laughlin, I ran into a wrestling fan. Don't you remember that story where I
elevator?
Said, well, I was walking from the parking garage into the casino.
Oh yeah.
And the guy had the ringtone.
Right?
No, he had a ringtone on his phone that was glorious, Bobby Roode's entrance theme. So I'm looking forward to seeing if I can find more professional wrestling fans in Laughlin, Nevada. What? Go ahead.
Good morning, Dave. It's currently 2:49 p.m. in the afternoon. The skies are clear with a slight breeze, and it's currently 88 degrees.
You've never been in Laughlin, Nevada. It is not a slight breeze in Laughlin. It's constantly windy.
Unless you're farting, then it's a big breeze.
Only once or twice.
I can't believe I just said that on air.
I can't
either. Can't edit that out.
No.
All right, kids. Now, calm down.
Waka waka.
Wow, Chobies. All right. Okay, so let's talk some... Dude, we are so off. Let's talk SummerSlam. SummerSlam, and of course, the most overused arena in the United States of America. Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. Wow. In front of a capacity crowd, 16,169, which honestly, it didn't look like that much. Of course, this is a Raw and SmackDown event. And... Just without giving it anything away, unless you've already watched it, then you already know. But Dave, give me your thoughts. If you had one word for SummerSlam, it would be...
Pretty good. No, that's two words. I liked it. No, that's more than one. One word you said?
Yeah. I mean, you already blew it up into pieces.
Uneven.
Oh. Okay.
Uneven. I'm good, aren't I? Why would I say uneven?
Why would you say uneven?
Well, that's a good question. Thank you for asking. uneven because it had some great matches. It had some good matches. It had one that was pathetic. It was awful. I hated it from beginning to end. But they're really, overall, I really enjoyed SummerSlam despite the one match.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, I can go with that and be okay with it. Let's start off with the preliminary matches, shall we?
Okay.
In the actual pay-per-view, it opened up with Dolph Ziggler, of course, accompanied by Drew McIntyre defending the IC title versus Seth Rollins. And again, we talked about this match and how much we were actually looking forward to it for a number of reasons. Athleticism, skill, quickness and pace in the ring. We just felt like it would help out. Seth was, by the way, accompanied by Dean Ambrose. And in the middle of the match, of course, McIntyre sent Ambrose into a steel steps at ringside. It distracted Rollins, allowing Ziggler to perform a zigzag on Rollins for a near fall. In the end, though, again, McIntyre attempted to interfere. Ambrose performed a dirty deeds on Drew. Rollins performed a super kick on the stomp on Ziggler and regained for the second time his Intercontinental Championship. This was a fast-paced match from beginning to end, and I actually like that.
I did too. I liked the match overall, although I think I've said this before on the pod. I am so tired of them talking about that knee injury that Seth had in 2015, and you know it took out most of 2016 for him. They brought it up so many times during the match. I've got something here. I took the play-by-play and I took the highlights just of them talking about the knee injury.
Okay.
And it lasts like a minute 16 seconds of this match was nothing but them talking about Seth Rollins' knee injury. We'll play that right now.
But Ziggler attacking the knee of Seth Rollins.
Smart.
Ziggler familiar with Seth Rollins. They've competed against one another so many times. Rollins with a history of knee injuries. This is a smart strategy by a veteran champion.
Every time he falls even awkwardly on that knee, you start to cringe and you start to worry that maybe it might be another serious injury, and you hope not.
Back to the knee by Ziggler. And looking right back to the injured knee of Rollins.
Such a smart strategy by the champion.
Can Rollins capitalize? Hobbled with the one bad wheel. Rollins in trouble, and you see him, the bad knee of Rollins coming down hard as he went over the top rope.
Way!
Wow.
So much for that injured knee.
And Rollins hit hard again, and I believe the injured knee may have come into play there.
Yeah, Michael, to your point, I think the strength in the knee, or lack thereof, certainly cost Seth Rollins.
They landed awkwardly again, but able to deliver a sling blade.
Fatigue, and I think mental fatigue.
I think it's about the bad knee injury.
Yes.
Yeah, the terrible knee injury that Rollins suffered earlier that Dalton initiated the assault early on in this matchup.
Rollins could be thinking about a buckle bomb. Will his knee hold up?
And right back to the bad knee.
And every time Rollins starts to mount some offense, Dolph goes right back to the knee.
Cook! Rollins is a two-time Intercontinental Champion.
By the way, there was a knee injury. I don't know if you heard about that.
He went for the knee. That's his bad knee. Oh, no. What's he going to do with that knee? I am so tired of that. I mean, yeah, he had a knee injury. It just drives me nuts that they keep on going back to that. I mean, it's old hat. Very rarely did you ever hear about Ric Flair getting into that plane crash and he broke his neck, you know?
Yeah.
You did hear about, Kurt Angle with his broken freaking neck a lot, but I mean, not in the aspect of the match. It was just constant. Drove me nuts.
Next was the Bludgeon Brothers. They defended their SmackDown Tag Team Championship against the New Day's Big E and Xavier Woods, of course accompanied by
Kofi Kingston.
The match ended when Rowan struck Woods and Big E with... Fine, give me the mic. with a mallet. Thus, the New Day won by disqualification. However, the Bludgeon Brothers retained the titles. I hate that rule. That if you win by disqualification, you don't get your title back.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's been a rule since 1901. Well,
it's part of the aura of professional wrestling. They call it the champion's advantage. What?
Nothing.
The champion's advantage, and it's part of the storytelling. Now, you do know that Eric Rowan was injured in the match.
Yes.
And that led to a title change on SmackDown Live. So now you're not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, but five times WWE SmackDown Live Tag Team Champions. The Pancake Brothers. The New Day.
It's annoying.
And even Booker T, King Booka, came out because he was the five-time WCW champion. And he proclaimed they're part of the
Let's do a vote, everybody. Who are you most sick of? Roman Reigns or The New Day?
Ooh.
It's about getting even for me. All right. So, hey, really quickly, before we go on to our next match, I want to go through the other three, I guess, previous matches that were, that were before. Andre, is it Cien?
Cien Almos.
Such a garbage name. And Zelina Vigaga. Defeated Lena and Rusev in 7 minutes for a max tag team match. There, happy?
Oh, you struggle with those names, don't you?
Like, you know what, never mind, I'm not going to say it. For the Cruiserweight Championship, in a total of 10 minutes and 15 seconds, Cedric Alexander defeated Drew Gulak. I butchered that name, too. The B-Team, Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel.
B-Team defeated
the Revival, which featuring Dash Wilder and Scott Dawson in his tag team match for the WWE Raw Tag Team Championship. That match was only 6 minutes and 15 seconds. Seth Rollins' win over Dolph Ziggler was in approximate 22 minutes, while the New Day's win over the Bludgeon Brothers via disqualification was 9 minutes and 45 seconds. Sure, well, do you know what's crazy?
What's crazy, he asked.
This match was only 1:50, and it was the second shortest of the match. That's right, there was another match that was shorter than 1:50. Braun Strowman defeats Kevin Owens.
That's the match I hated. I despised that match. They set it up to have Kevin do something to either almost win or win it. And then it was a squash match. Squash does not belong at SummerSlam. Squash belongs as a side dish at the dinner table.
Wow, glad you know your side dishes. Strowman chokeslam Owens onto the steel rage stage ramp and then proceeded to roll him back into the ring.
Stupid.
And performed a running power slam to pin Owens. Stupid. 1:50.
Stupid.
By the way, if Strowman would have lost, he's done.
Yeah.
So you really can't kick him out, but you really didn't think it'd be that.
Yeah. But why have Kevin?
I know.
I understand.
I know.
Because now it's kind of coming out a little bit. They had Kevin on Monday Night Raw get beat again, and then he just grabs the microphone and acts like he's crying and says, I quit, and he walks out.
Do you think he was in the doghouse with Vince?
Very possible. He has been in the doghouse, but still, this was a stupid storyline.
In the fourth match, Carmella defended the SmackDown Women's Championship against Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch.
Loved it.
Lynch applied the disarm her on Carmella, only for Flair to perform the natural selection on Lynch and pinned her to regain the title for a second time. By the way, after the match, Lynch attacks Flair, turning heel. Yeah, you like that, I'm sure.
I loved it.
Charlotte Flair defeats Becky Lynch and Carmella for the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship. Total time, 15 minutes, 15 seconds.
I thought it was fantastic.
How do you like the heel change?
Doesn't surprise me. They set it up very well. I didn't know whether it would be Charlotte or Becky turning heel, but it was Becky, and I think she's doing a fantastic job with it. The only real problem is that the crowd is cheering Becky.
Oh, yeah.
As a heel, they're cheering her.
It's like Canada.
Yeah, they were saying, you deserve it. You deserved it. You deserved it. And then on SmackDown Live this past week, Becky comes out and she just gets this huge pop. And it was like, yeah, you go in there, kick Charlotte's figure eight and bust another one of her implants. And Charlotte missed several weeks because she had to have surgery because one of her implants busted.
Okay, yeah, but you... Man, Dave. Oh, I love you. No, I like the heel turn. The match was good.
Love. It's just fondness.
So yeah, I know I like the heel turn. I like the match itself. Fast pace. But yeah. The heel turn was just unexpected, but good to see.
And Carmella did a great job. There's been so many people talking about Mella as a weak champion. I don't see it. I think she plays that heel.
No, she's good.
I think she did a fantastic job.
Next up, the WWE Championship between AJ Styles, who's defending his title against Samoa Joe.
Loved it, loved it, loved it.
Mr. Samoa Joe was continually taunting AJ's wife and child, who, by the way, were in attendance. This did not make AJ happy at all, by the way.
Not at all.
Puts him through a barricade, attacked security personnel, struck Joe with a chair. Which, by the way, would result in a disqualification. So for the second time, we had a disqualification in a pay-per-view match with the title on the line, which means, guess what? AJ still your title
but
holder.
But see, this time it was the good guy who got disqualified.
Total time of the match, 22 minutes and 45 seconds. AJ Styles for the WWE Championship by the disqualification.
Now, at the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view.
Hell in a Cell.
They're going to have a match once again with AJ and Joe. Now, they have not said it was going to be a Hell in a Cell match, though. So, I mean, they're going to have the Hell in a Cell. You know it's going to, they're going to have the Dolph, not the Dolph Ziggler, but the Roman Reigns match is going to be Hell in a Cell. But is this one going to be Hell in a Cell? And by the way, if you watch the match and you listen very closely, about halfway through the match, you start hearing TNA. TNA, T.
Samoa Joe and AJ Styles, first time ever here in WWE, one-on-one for the most prestigious prize in the history of sports entertainment.
Miz versus Daniel Bryan. This match was 23 minutes and 30 seconds. Everything was going according to plan for pretty much Daniel Bryan until Maryse handed the Miz a pair of brass knuckles. The suicide dive by Daniel went awry. Which turned into The Miz clocking Daniel Bryan, rolling him up for a pin, getting the win. The Miz over Daniel Bryan, 23 minutes and 30 seconds. Dave?
Once again, it was the perfect storytelling between those two. I love it. The Miz is the best heel in the business right now, especially old-style heel, using the brass knuckles, doing everything he can to do to cheat, to win, to get that title. And then you add Daniel Bryan with his comeback. It was a great match, and I would say my second favorite of the night.
Really?
Good stuff. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's right there with AJ Styles and Samoa Joe as far as storytelling to me. I was sitting right where I'm sitting right now in front of my computer watching it on the WWE Network, and my wife was laughing at me because I was cheering. I loved every bit of it.
The next one ended up being just, we talked about squashes and how they belong on the table. Someone forgot to tell the WWE that message. It was a demon, Finn Balor, facing Baron Corbin. Here's how it went. Baron had a clothesline, a sling blade, a drop kick, and then a coup de grace, and ended Corbin in 1 minute and 35 seconds.
I know it was a bit of a squash match, but I did like having the Demon King back. He hasn't done it since last SummerSlam, I believe. I love the makeup. I love the entrance. And then to have the storytelling that Baron had prepared for Finn the Man, not Finn the Demon. And the Constable is now the acting general manager of Raw, by the way. So they're going to redo that, I bet.
This one was a good match. I actually liked it. Shinsuke
Gamora.
Defends his U.S. title versus Jeff Hardy.
Good stuff.
Towards the end, Hardy attempted a Swanton bomb on from the ring apron onto Shinsuke. But, of course, Shinsuke moved, causing Hardy to land on the edge of the ring canvas. Now, here's where it got good. Shinsuke then got Hardy back in the ring and performed a... What's that move? It's the...
Shinsaska.
See, that's just stupid.
Knee to face.
Why can't you just call it knee to face?
Well, that's what most of us call it. Because we can't speak the Japanese language very well.
That move would get Shinsuke a win, and he would defend his U.S. title, but we're not done yet. Randy Orton, of course...
Wait, there's more!
Made an appearance, teasing the... Well, I guess just giving the hint that he would attack Hardy, but then left immediately. In a backstage interview later, Orton said that it was not the night to do it.
Yeah. And that has proven the point.
Give us the aftermath.
SmackDown Live, the first Tuesday afterwards, I think it was. Randy Orton attacked. Jeff Hardy was beaten on his head. And then, you know, Jeff has gauges. You know, those things in your ear?
Yeah.
Well, he didn't have the gauge in, so he had just a flapping earlobe. And there's Orton putting his finger through that gap in the earlobe and pulling on it. And you could see the faces in the crowd, and they were just... it gave you the willies, man. I'm not kidding. You thought for sure he's going to pull that out. And so then the next week, it was Jeff Hardy... getting the advantage over RKO, and now they're setting up a match at Hell in a Cell. But good storytelling.
Shinsuke
Nakamura
defends his U.S. title and wins his U.S. title, beating Jeff Hardy in 11 minutes. The next match, 6 minutes long, Ronda Rousey, Alexa Bliss. Before we go any further in the match, we do want to send out our, I guess, condolences. Jim Neidhart passed away.
Yes.
Just recently. Want to give him a shout out, or to his family a shout out, and to Jim as well, who did so much for the WWE organization, for the WWE universe. Such a sad passing. Comments, Jim, before we move on?
Yeah, Jim the Anvil Neidhart, of course, what married into the Hart family. Jim did play professional football. I think it was for the Oakland Raiders. He was part of the Hart Foundation. He was part of the Jimmy Hart family in Memphis, Tennessee wrestling. Of course, his daughter is Natalia Neidhart. Had that great laugh and then that huge goatee that he always go on. He was a great performer. Had some issues, like a lot of people in that generation, had some issues with substance abuse. But still, that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about the man and his family, and we do wish them the best and our condolences.
In saying that, Ronda Rousey, while she came out, Natalya made her entrance to be in Rousey's corner, and while doing so, she wore her father's jacket to the ring, which is pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
This match was just a domination of Ronda Rousey from the very start to the very finish of it.
Yeah.
It was all Ronda Rousey from the get-go. She ends up winning by submission with the armbar after she would celebrate with, of course, Natalya, and then... Whatever the Bella girls, I don't know why. They always need attention. But
yeah, the Bellas came out. And by the way, they're going to be at Monday Night Raw coming up.
Great.
Labor Day weekend.
Can't wait.
And then, of course, Brie is going to be part of a mixed tag team at Hell in a Cell. Daniel Bryan and Brie, his wife, the mother of his child, will take on The Miz and Maryse, the mother of his child.
Does the other get the other? Never mind. No, I'm not going to ask.
Yeah. By the way, did you watch the Miz and Mrs. on USA Network?
Yeah, it didn't get a lot of ratings, but yeah.
It did okay. They're going to do a second year.
We'll see if I can make it.
I thought it was funny. I enjoyed it. More than the Bellas and Total Divas, which made them look like, well, I'm sorry. I'll bite my tongue because they didn't make them out to be very nice young ladies.
The main event of the night was Brock Lesnar defending his Universal Championship against Roman Reigns. And for those who have not been hiding underneath the rock for the last little bit, there has been rumors and heavy rumors of Brock going back to the UFC. By the way, speaking of which, UFC really quickly, history was made the other night with Ronda Rousey's win. She's the first ever woman in the industry to win both the UFC and women's championship. So pretty cool there. Going back here, Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns. I don't know what you want me to say.
Braun Strowman got involved. Blah, 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 blah.
I just don't know what you want me to say. This is such a waste of time. A super punch and three spears. And this guy who was so dominating, Brock Lesnar, then goes to be this weak aspect of this.
Well, you got to remember, Braun was involved.
Doesn't matter.
He's the monster among men. Lesnar.
No, we make Brock Lesnar.
He gave him his hand.
We gave Brock Lesnar like this superior, unbeatable being. And then all of a sudden, Strowman appears and Roman's there. And I don't get it. Roman Reigns won, by the way, so whoopity freaking do. But, because no one gives a flying crap that you won a match. The main event in 6 minutes and 10 seconds, which means your last two matches took a total of 10 minutes.
Well, they were running long.
Wet my diaper, for all I care.
I will. Wet my diaper? Okay.
I mean, I'm just irritated. Roman Reigns is your WWE champion again. And you all thought we were sick of John Cena. I guarantee more people are sick of Roman Reigns than they are of John Cena.
He gets this mixed reaction that is so...
Oh, it's not mixed. He's hated.
It's mixed.
No, no, no. John Cena's was mixed. Roman Reigns is 90% I hate you, and I hope you fall on your face.
But not
onto
now,
something hard.
Because of the reunion of The Shield the following Monday night... The Shield. The gang is back together, all three of them.
Well, poop my diaper. Because I still don't freaking care.
I don't either.
A guy who reigned the freaking WWE for 504 days of holding the title, and they dominate him like that to make it, oh, hey, Roman Reigns is all powerful.
Well, it gave him a way to get out.
I'd take a steel chair to his back.
I
wouldn't even hurt him. I'm pissed. I mean, I'm angry. I shouldn't say pissed.
Well, you know, they are going to have...
Sorry, children. My bad.
The Hell in the Cell is going to be the Monster in the Bank, which I hate that little title, against Roman Reigns inside Hell in the Cell because Braun doesn't want the other two members of the Shield to get involved.
Stupid. Roman Reigns is going to win again.
Yeah, I think so. But, hey, why not?
Hey, writers for WWE, you suck. Go eat a freaking bowl of steamy crotch cakes.
Please tell us how you really feel, Mr. IJ Salvin, and make sure that it's politically correct.
Politically correct?
Yes.
Yeah. It's all just a bunch of fake news. Fake wrestling is just fake news.
You made me laugh.
Anyways, okay, so there you go. Roman Reigns is your champion. Whoopity frickin' do.
Okay. You want to talk about other stuff?
No, yeah. I'm angry right now.
Well,
I need to calm down.
Just go take...
Let's go take a break. Can we take a break?
We'll take a break.
Okay, Dave Denton, Ajay Salveson, you're listening to Turnbuckle Trash.
It's Chris on the match.
I'm lost for words.
The original trash head, Chris Evans.
If a guy didn't get cracked open, he wasn't really wrestling.
Chris. On the mat.
You can make people sit their butts in those seats. Your box office.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
You're changing your Depends over to diapers.
It's time for Chris on the Mat. Christopher Evans joins us on the telephone from beautiful North Carolina. How's Christopher doing today?
It's a beautiful day here in Statesville, North Carolina. It is finally, the sun is going down, and it's a nice degree where you can actually walk without having a heat stroke. So
it's been that kind of hot out here. And you know what's happening here in our portion of Utah? We are getting so much smoke from that fire in California. It's just the jet stream is just building it and putting it right into Cache Valley. and we're in kind of a bowl, so it gets trapped. And we have some of the worst air in the country right now. It is so smoky and so nasty. I'll be glad when that fire is out.
Yeah, they had a soccer game going on in Utah. So I think it was in Salt Lake City. North Carolina was playing, I think, Salt Lake City in a soccer. It was a ladies' soccer match, and they had oxygen tanks sitting on the sidelines just in case the air was getting pretty bad from all that. And I thought, my gosh, this fire must be pretty bad if it's getting to where the air, they can't even breathe the air in Utah. That's not good.
Yeah, what has happened is the jet stream is bringing the air that's going up in the air from this huge fire, Mendocino fire, and it's bringing it right over our area. And, I mean, right now, which, you know, I'm in a valley, but on either side, I can always see the mountains, and you can't see them right now at all because it's so smoky.
So, oh, wow.
That's how bad we are. Man. So, well, let's talk. Okay. Let's not talk about fires and smoke and all that. Let's talk pro wrestling. Let's talk the WWE. What did you think of SummerSlam, my man?
SummerSlam was a summer blockbuster from what I can tell. Major title changes except for one that I was hoping that one title change could have happened, but I was very disappointed with SmackDown's version. I was hoping Samoa Joe would win the WWE title. Very disappointed on that part and disappointed with the cash in. Other than that, I'll give it SummerSlam 3 stars. That's it. 3 stars.
3 stars.
3 stars. That's all you get, SummerSlam. I'm sorry. 3 stars.
Yeah. Well, didn't you like the storytelling, though, in the Samoa Joe match with AJ Styles?
Yes. Uh-huh. I think it's some of Samoa Joe's best work that he's done. He's bringing out that evil, evil side of Samoa Joe. I like it. That's the Samoa Joe I like to see. And, I mean, they tore the house down. It was one of the best matches, possibly one of the best matches of SummerSlam with Samoa Joe and AJ Styles.
It as my favorite match. And, I mean, there were so many really good matches there. On the card, I mean, even you talk the SmackDown Women's Championship, that triple threat, that was killer. All three ladies did so well. I mean, Carmella's been taking all kinds of flack. They say she's been a weak champion. No, she knows what she's doing. She did great.
Yes, she did. But, again, we have another Flair champion, and I was happy that Charlotte got it again. I think what they're doing with Charlotte right now is they're building her up just like her daddy. She's going to be a 16-time women's champion. Now, when Evolution comes in, let's see what happens, because I'd like to – I wouldn't mind seeing Charlotte go up against a legend in that. But I was very happy that they gave the belt to Charlotte Flair. Congratulations to Charlotte. She deserves it. It's like a popularity contest sometimes when they get the belts, but she deserves it. I think it was good to give it to her.
Now, let me ask you your opinion about the heel change that occurred right after that with Becky Lynch. Becky, best friends with Charlotte, and Becky just beat the F11 you-know-what out of her. And now Becky is supposed to be, I don't know if you watched SmackDown this past Tuesday, but Becky is supposed to be a heel, but she's getting cheered.
Yeah, and some people on the internet were making fun of that they were putting on little memes that, you know, pineapple belongs on pizza, and people were cheering yes, yes. And he goes, "Dadgummit, would you please boo me? You're supposed to boo me, not cheer me." And, I mean, yeah, she's turned heel, but that's what's wrong with the fans now. They cheer the heels and they boo the baby faces now.
Yeah.
So that's the problem. But you know what? That's fine. I think Becky Lynch is one heck of a heel. She can be, because she's got that look. She has that look like my ex-wife did when we were going to court. I mean, I don't know what it was, but I'll let's strike that one from the records. Let's track that one from the record book, please. Oh, yeah, she's got a look. I like it, though. I like Becky Lynch as a heel. I think it's going to work. And plus her and Charlotte going at it, ooh, that's going to be – that'll be a back-and-forth technical wrestling match. And I hopefully they put the belt back on Becky one of these days. You never know. It all depends on what side of the bed Vince gets up on. So let's see what happens.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it's going to be interesting to see how they go this this storyline. So let me go ahead, and I'm going to ask you a couple of more questions about what happened at SummerSlam. I think, you know, the matches were fun. I mean, the one, though, that absolutely, I think, took this SummerSlam from at least a four-star down to a three-star, I mean, because I would give it like 3.5, but one match, Strowman against Kevin Owens. I absolutely despise that match.
It should not have been a squash match. It shouldn't have been. Even Stone Cold Steve Austin said he didn't like it on his podcast. He said that that was the wrong thing to do to Kevin Owens. This is a man who has climbed his way up from the Indies to Ring of Honor to the WWE, and you give him the Universal title. He held it. He defended it more than Brock Lesnar. And now you do this to him. You're basically putting him in gimmick matches, and now you're making – you squash him in a match with Braun Strowman. Okay. I don't think Kevin Owens will be around much longer. But we'll never know. Well, but that match – it was just, that match was ridiculous. I will agree with you. It should have been.
I don't disagree with, you know, the ending, you know, with Strowman winning. But to have – they be a complete total squash – Kevin Owens got destroyed. Unless they have something planned in the future where Kevin's going to screw him over somehow by tripping him up or helping out whoever or helping out the Shield now. You know, I don't know where they're going to go with it, but Kevin deserved to have at least a couple of high spots to make Braun sweat it out a little bit. It didn't make any sense to me.
Well, it really didn't make any sense to anybody because we're all still scratching our heads wanting to know why this man was a universal champion and now you're basically making him a universal joke. I mean, Kevin Owens, Kevin Steen, he is a technical wrestler. He's great on the mic. The man can cut a promo, but I guess he may have kicked off someone in the front office and they decided, well, guess what? We're going to end your career real quick. You're going to get squashed by these hands.
I didn't understand it. And I have nothing against Braun Strowman either. I'm not a big fan of Strowman by any means. It just didn't make any sense how that match was designed, how it was booked. I mean, even if they would have just had Kevin slide under the ring, grab a chair, and beat on him for a little while, and then, you know, find a kendo stick and Braun's down.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm fine with that. Just to have it where Kevin was just nothing, you know, it was like he was a jobber, you know.
I didn't like it at all.
I really didn't care for it. They, like I said, that they ruined that match. And I really expected Kevin Owens to win against Braun Strowman. I figured, okay, they're going to do this. They're going to have Kevin beat Braun Strowman, he's going to cash in at SummerSlam. Nope. Rats.
Yeah. I was surprised that they didn't have Kevin win.
Yep.
Somehow by, you know, hook or crook, but they decided not to, which, you know, that's their prerogative. But I thought they could have had some fun with that. And they just didn't do anything with it. So, oh, well.
Well, that's just the way the WWE is. Sometimes they don't see the big picture, and they lost a heck of a pay-per-view. Another opportunity with Kevin Owens. I mean, he can bring in the money, and he's hated by everybody. He's a good heel. Come on, let's start raking in the money. But that's okay. You can do what you want to do. That's your prerogative, not mine.
Yeah. Let's stay on the Raw side with the pre-match show and the Revival against the B-Team. A lot of people didn't like how that match was booked either, but I liked the fact that continually the B team finds a way to win, and it's not by hook or crook, it's just by dumb luck. I mean, they're both good professionals, but I mean, when you looked at how they ended that match with the Revival, with Curtis Axel being rolled up by the other member of the Revival, and then Bo Dallas being held back, and all of a sudden he breaks free, rolls back, hits the two on the mat, makes the reverse, and Curtis Axel gets the pin. I loved it. I laughed out loud. I cheered at the fact that the B team won again, because they are the B team. B team. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Loved it.
Okay, well, they finally brought some oomph back to the tag team division, the B team. No one really thinks they're just jobbers, and that's what basically they are. But they give them, they dang a little piece of cheese in front of them and say, here you go, see what you can do with this. And I thought it was interesting the way they did it at the end of the match. I mean,
yeah
and they're good. I doubt that they'll keep this crew together. They'll probably split them up in a couple of more months. Something will happen. And then
you've got the Authors of Pain that are ready to probably step up. Either them or the Revival might win, real quick. But they're bringing up the Authors of Pain definitely to do something in the near future.
Of course.
We both didn't like this match. We both probably predicted this match with Brock Lesnar, the Universal Champion, against Roman Reigns. And Roman Reigns is the winner, and he is now the Universal Champion. Give me your take on that match.
That's it.
It looked like your ex-wife going to court,
Yeah, I love that. That's good. I'm about to use that one again. Basically, it was a match where everybody knew that the fix is in this time. It's got to be Roman's time to win the Universal Championship. I mean, there's only been three people to hold the title. Finn Balor, Brock Lesnar, Kevin Owens, Brock Lesnar, and now Roman Reigns. There's four of them. So now, he's finally got the title. I didn't like the match. Nobody wanted to see the match. Everybody booed everything, and some people were reading books in the stadium, in the seat. They were reading books. They weren't even watching the match. Some people weren't
It was a fairly weak match.
It was, because we've already seen this match 1,000 times.
Braun Strowman coming out, saying he was going to cash in, and then Brock, putting him in the F5 and all that. That to me is what ruined it. So.
Yeah, I mean, that ruined it big time. I mean, Braun comes out, he's going to cash in the F5 to him, and then Brock Lesnar takes the briefcase and beats him over the head and body with it. Okay, fine, but can it be something different? We all knew Roman was going to win, but I would have wanted to see Braun Strowman, as soon as Roman Reigns won the title, Brock Lesnar picks him up, F5s him, and then here comes Braun. And then Roman's dreams are wiped away, and everybody can cheer and throw the babies up in the air. So, because he lost. I mean, that's what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And now we can say goodbye to Brock Lesnar. Thank goodness.
Hallelujah. I mean, and once again, it's nothing personal, but I've never been a fan of his work. I just never have. And I know a lot of people are disagreeing with me. Your friend and mine will always disagree with me on that. But, I mean, especially the way they booked him since he came back. He was like two moves, F5 or Suplex City. F5,
that's
Suplex
it.
City.
Suplex City.
That's it. And he can do better than that.
Well, back when Brock first came into the WWE, we all knew that he was the next big thing. He was this big powerhouse man, and everybody was scared of him, and he had more moves than he does now. But now Brock is and we've talked about this. Brock doesn't care about the fans. Brock doesn't care about anything else but the almighty dollar. That's all he wants to do. And he loves to see what suit Dana White's going to be in next week. That's all he cares about. I mean, the man has a love fest.
I think that I said it once before. Give the man credit. He took the money from Vince and from Titan Sports and ran with it. And I'll tip my hat to him at this point, because you know what? When you can get as much money out of a company as he has, more power to you. But my blame goes right on to them as an entity, the WWE Titan Sports, signing a contract to not have their champion around. It cheapened the title to me. It just cheapened the title completely.